This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Thank you, worship team. Welcome back from fall break. I feel like it's been forever since I had the privilege of speaking to you during chapel, because we started out at convocation, and then my opportunity came to teach, but yet Mike Hamlett, who's pastor at church in Spartanburg, one of the largest churches in the state, he's been there almost 29 years. He was on campus, or saw he was going to be on campus, so they had a chance to speak. So I just thought you would miss something special. So he took my spot, so to speak, and now we're finally together. Let me remind you what we started. We're going through a series, and it's called Faith During Fires. And Coach Judd Brooker and his wife, his new bride, Nicole, right at the end of the semester last spring, their house burned down. Newly married, he'd made much of the furniture in their house. And so watching them go through that crisis in a response of faith in God, I thought, you know, this is something that the whole student body, the whole campus, faculty, staff, we need to learn from experiences like this. So part one at convocation, we started in chapter 10 of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 39, and it talked about the fire part, the crisis part. So he said, when we go through a crisis, we need to maintain the proper perspective. And there were three insights from that part of Scripture. We need to recall our past endurance. God got us through it in the past. He'll get us through it again in the present. It's really hard. We need to think about the future. It may be hard now, but one day I'm going to rejoice in this future reward. Heaven will be incredible because that's where God lives. It's not heaven itself. It's who lives in heaven. That's so wonderful. And then we need to rest in our present circumstances, the last three verses of that passage. And twice it said there in that passage, live by faith or have faith. So the question then becomes, what is faith? And so today's passage, and the next time I share with you later next month, we're going to talk about what is faith. But first, let's look at what faith is not. And I recently had a friend send me these pictures, and I thought, oh my goodness, this will surely communicate what faith is not. Now notice he has that ladder leaning against the little rail there over the stairwell. And these remind me so much of myself before I got married. You know, here's one. Notice the ladder is leaning on some bricks, but the front of the ladder is on top of the power meter. And so I don't know if you jiggle a few wires. This one, they have some boards in the corner of the building, and I just don't think that would pass, you know, the OSHA requirements. This one, pushing the refrigerator up the ladder. Now, I don't see how that guy's strong enough to hold it. So if he gives way, all the guys below him are just goners. Now, this one amazed me. Look up at the top and you'll see kind of a perspective of the picture. But if you look down at the bottom, you see his ladder is on the handrail on that huge building. But this last one is what gets me. The top picture shows this window washer, and the bottom, if you can see, I circled it there in red, it shows what floor he's on that skyscraper. Now, please listen to someone who's been through this phase of life and survived. It's not faith. It's foolishness. So, what is faith? Turn, please, to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 40. This chapter goes in great detail. It's called the full mentioned chapter. It goes in great detail what faith is. And in these verses, these 40 verses, verse 1 is going to show us a positive definition of faith, what real faith is, the real deal. Verse 2, the author of Hebrews gives us this powerful declaration about real faith. And then the rest of the chapter, he gives some practical demonstrations of the real deal. So, let's begin with verse 1, a positive definition. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And you might want to underline things not seen, because that tends to be a theme throughout this chapter. Talk about not seeing, looking, seeing, the invisible, the visible. Now, this definition breaks down, this verse breaks down into two parts. There's in terms of when. It says it's the assurance of things hoped for. It's always in the future. So it made me think, what are some of the things for which I hope? Well, I hope, I long that God would mature me spiritually. And then I think of Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, for I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work within you will perfect it, will mature it, will complete it to the day of Christ Jesus. Well, I hope that God will use me. Going a little further in Philippians, the Apostle Paul writes in verse chapter 1, verse 25, he says, and convinced of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress in joy in the faith. Paul wanted to be with Jesus because it was very much better. But convinced of this, he knew he would remain and continue with them for their progress and growth in the faith. Well, I hope that God will provide for me. Well, Philippians 4:19, one of the famous verses there. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So it's always in the future. But from Scripture, we know he will do these things so I can have faith. But there's always this in terms of what. And it says there in the conviction of things not seen. I was sharing 2 days ago. No, it was yesterday morning with a new believer, a young businessman. He's 35-ish. And he was saying this. I was in the car coming here to the campus. And he was saying, you know, my life is so different now. He said, before I'd be real selfish toward my wife. And now there's something inside of me that wants to love her. He says, before I'd be so filled with worry. But now there's something inside of me that wells up and there's this peace in my life. And he said, I tend to be harsh with my kids, but now I find myself being very gentle with them. There's just something inside of me that's making me be these things. And I said, have you been reading about the fruits of the Spirit? He goes, what is that? And I said, well, I want you to turn your Bible to Galatians chapter 5. And I want you to read verses 16 through 23. And it talks about there's something, but we say someone who's inside of you. And he is called the Holy Spirit. And he's invisible. But he's the one creating these things inside of you. So it's the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And one reason we can be confident God's going to do these things in our lives or through our lives or beyond our lives is because there's an invisible God that we can trust in and have hope in and have confidence in. And he's going to do what he said he would do from the Scriptures. But he moves on, verse 2. It says, this is when I started studying this passage, this verse jumped out to me. This is, from my perspective, the verse in the passage. Because he starts with this verse and he ends with this verse in verse 39. He says, for by it men of old gained approval. Can you imagine one day we're going to stand before God and he's going to wrap his arms around us? Now, this is not in Scripture. This is my sanctified imagination. He's going to lift us up and he's going to hug us tight. He's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have my full and complete approval. I long for that. I long for that. Deeply, I long for that. Makes me think of my little grandchildren. You know, don't tell them I said this, but I'm really planning on stealing my granddaughter. I'm going to wait for my grandson to be diaper changed, potty trained. It's been years since I went through that. I had 3 in diapers twice. It's so scarred my memory. I want to forget about all that. One day I'll tell you about the first and only diaper I ever changed. But lest I be distracted, let's go back to Scripture. Now, when she comes, I'm planning on stealing her because they live in Nashville, Tennessee. That's just not right. All right, but so by faith, by it, men of old gained approval. So now the rest of the chapter, he's going to talk about these men of old. And he goes through, chronologically, the entire Old Testament. So he begins in verse 3. He says, so now we look at these demonstrations of the real deal of faith. He says in verse 3, by faith, now, since nobody was around at creation, he makes it us believers. And then he's going to jump to actual people's names. But verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. He spoke them into existence. So that what is seen, what we see now, Coach Kim was talking about this beautiful day, what is seen now was not made out of things which are visible. He didn't start with some chemistry kit. He just spoke, and it was all there. Now, here's how I put this. We gain approval when by faith we just stand in wonder at the glorious creation of God the Creator. Now, some naysayers will say, oh, it wasn't God. It all started with a big bang. Now, I want you to know, I'm an expert on the Big Bang. I've been studying it since I was a little boy. It started when I was 9 years old. And I was cutting grass. And my dad warned me that gasoline is very flammable. You don't put matches around gasoline. Well, that got me curious. So I emptied the can of gasoline, but I could still smell the fumes. So my parents were big smokers, so I stole a pack of matches and lit a match, put it inside that thing, and I had no hair. I mean, it was vivid in my memory. There's this flame. It was like the back end of a jet plane. It was just, my eyebrows were singed. My hair was singed. Now, you come up with a quick lie to your mom and dad when you do that. I mean, it was hard getting out of that. It was very hard. Then at age 10, I graduated. We learned that you could take my mom's hairspray and strike a match. It's like a flamethrower. And we would chase each other. This is Roger Stewart. As a matter of fact, he lived down the street, three doors down. We would chase each other. And when you got hit, it really doesn't burn that badly. It's kind of like passing your finger through a candle. So this was a lot of fun because down the basement, his house, his mom and dad didn't care. You know, as I'm sharing this, every morning I try to send a little verse of scripture with a little prayer. I'm going through Proverbs to my kids and my sweetheart. And this morning I sent them Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. It says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm. I didn't have very smart friends growing up. At age 11, I took my parents' match packets and I would tear the heads off and stick them in pill bottles and then tape the top of the pill bottle and poke a little hole in the top and put a fuse from a firecracker, because I figured if a little firecracker makes a big bang, boy, a bigger firecracker will make a bigger bang. Age 12. I found the recipe for gunpowder. It started getting kind of dangerous at that point. So age 13 was a transitional year for me, and we bought a lot of cherry bombs, and what we were trying to do was they sink, and or M80s, they sink in the water, and still the fuse goes on. And so we were trying to catch brim, which is a kind of fish, and we'd see them swimming around, so we'd throw it and think the concussion would cause them to float to the top. But when they see this thing on fire coming out of the water, they would swim away. But it was a lot of fun trying. But then we didn't have any fish. So at that point, I started fishing, and I kind of outgrew that stage. But here's what I learned. Every big bang had somebody strike the match. So creation, if it were started by a big bang, there's somebody behind it. And so when we get out there and we look at the stars one evening, I love to be in the country when there's no ambient light to distract from the stars and see the glorious wonder of God. And it's not His creation. It's the Creator behind it. Verse 4. For by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he ordained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. So from the first verse, verse 3, it's we gain approval by just adoring the God of creation in our wonderment. Here we find Abel, he gains approval in his worshiping. Now, he understood Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. So in his sacrifice, his worship, there's a blood offering. His brother Cain was a grain offering. And this is the one that God ordained. This is how you worship me. Now, for you and me, how does this apply to our lives? All semester long, I've been trying to come before chapel saying, like laser focus on God. Because we're coming here to pause in our day to give him the honor and glory that he deserves. Now, here's what I found in my own life in September last month. I came in from out of the country on Saturday, and I got in late. I'm Sunday morning, I wake up, and I'm very, very tired. And I started going through my mind, rationalizing, I can sleep in. I've been out of the country serving the Lord. It's okay to sleep in. My pastor's one of my best friends. He travels overseas all the time. He'll understand. Then I realized, and then I thought, well, no, I need to be a good example. Because, you know, I'm arguing with myself in my head. And then I realized, the issue is not going to church. The issue is worshiping God. See the difference? And when that thought came into my mind, it completely changed my attitude. It was like, oh God, I'm so, so sorry. I'm looking forward to going to church and worshiping. Yes, I could have, the other little angel on the other shoulder could have said, well, you can worship him here. And if I really got into it, I could say, you could worship him outside fishing. You know what I'm saying? And there's a part of me that goes outside and worships God. But when I have an opportunity to worship him with all of you or with my brothers and sisters at my church, how good is that? So when I found I'm really focused in on God and worshiping, there are worship songs come to my mind throughout the day. This morning I woke up, there's a song that's been on my heart for like 3 days. And it says, in all of my life, in every season, you are still God and I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship. And it's just been coming up all day. Let me ask you, in your time alone with God, your personal devotional time, are you gaining approval? Are you just going through a routine and checking it off? Are you having a quiet time or are you spending quiet time worshiping God? When you come in here, where are you? Are you gaining God's approval? Because by faith, you're trying to worship Him as best as you know how. Abel gained faith. Let's go to verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. I love this verse. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's the rewarder of those who seek him. So, third way in this passage. Now, we're not going to go through all 40 verses. There are eight major examples in this chapter about these men of old gaining approval. We're going to go at first four this morning, and next month we'll look at the next four. The four this morning are more positive in nature. Next month there'll be a little bit more negative. In other words, these four, you and I will tend to say, yeah, I want to wonder before God. I want to worship Him when I realize that He's the one that created the universe. And I want my walk to please Him. And I want my witnessing to please Him. Those are the four this morning. Next time, it's not so positive. It's kind of things we want to steer clear from. But here, Enoch, in his walking, he pleased God. He gained approval. Now, it's been brought to my attention that on campus there are certain groups who've developed an attitude towards some other groups of students. As I've thought about this and prayed about it, James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. It's just book right after Hebrews. It says, "Brethren, do not speak against one another. For he who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law." Next verse says, "There's only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and destroy. But who are you to speak against your neighbor?" Next chapter says, "Do not complain against your brother so that you yourself may not be judged." And so what I've heard is there are groups looking at each other, kind of sizing each up spiritually. Well, they're not as spiritual as they should be. Now, somebody came up and said that. I says, "Well, have you picked the most immature spiritual person in that group? Or have you picked the most spiritually mature? Are you judging yourself against this one or against this one?" And the person said, "Ooh, ouch." But here's the deal. We have to learn to separate two issues: sin and maturity, disobedience and immaturity. Make sense? If it's sin, how do we respond? If you have a relationship with that person, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, "But even if any of you are caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, go to the brother, looking to yourselves, lest you too be tempted." If it's sin, you go point it out in love, in humility, being vigilant about yourself. But if it's immaturity, how do you respond? You pray for your brother. You encourage your brother. Maybe disciple your brother. But let's don't speak against one another or complain against one another. Why? Because like Enoch, we want God to look down on our lives and be so, so approving of our walk that he says, "You know, I can't wait for you to get to heaven. I'm going to snatch you up right now. I don't want to wait till you die. I just got to get you up here right now." One last one, verse 7. "For by faith Noah, being warned by God," here's this little theme, "about things not seen." What are the things not seen? Rain, a rainstorm, a flood. Bigger than that, the coming judgment of God. "Being warned by God about things not seen, in reverence before God, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith." A fourth way that we can gain approval, looking at these practical demonstrations of the men of old who also gained approval, is in our witnessing. Now, in our witnessing, I was with a 32-year-old fellow last Monday night, and he and I were sharing Christ with a 36 or 37-year-old businessman, not the one I mentioned earlier, a different guy. And the 32-year-old said, "You know, I'm kind of skeptical going and telling him about God's love and forgiveness. You know, I just don't think God's going to do anything." And my response was, "I have absolute confidence. I have faith that when I share the gospel, when you share the gospel, when anyone shares the gospel, the wonderful good news of God's unforgiveness, that God is going to do something. Might not do it tonight, but God's going to do something." Now, Brother George, come up, please. This is George Gadsden. And yes, I mean, he and Neil and the posse over here, they're like, "You men encourage my heart so much, your walks with God, your attitudes." But Brother George shared something with me the other day, and I thought, you know, this is so good. The entire campus needs to hear it. Share with us about witnessing to your family, please.
Yeah, I had my grandkids with me this summer. And
I think you saw the picture.
Yeah. Let me just say, when
they don't live in Nashville, do they?
No, sir.
Yeah,
they live
see,
in
I'm
Texas.
Jealous of you. Yeah. Texas. Oh, Texas. All right. Okay, go ahead.
Texas. And I shared Dr. Jones taught us one verse method. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we witnessed that way. And I had witnessed to some adults also, and I didn't get no fruits from that, but I kept on witnessing. And I thought to share it with my grandkids, and I did. And I was amazed of how they accepted the gospel and how the one verse method makes it so simple that they were able to accept it. And I even saw fruits, because I had one of my grandson, and that's the little one to the bottom. He is older now. He's about five, and he was five at the time. And he asked me questions, and I would almost say he ministered to me, because he asked me and talked about Jesus for about a good 30 minutes on my way driving to Rock Hill, South Carolina. And he asked me questions like, Papa, Jesus is the boss of the devil, right? And I mean, he went on scenarios of questions and questions and questions like that. My wife sitting on the other side, she said, what's going on with him? And it was after we had shared the gospel with him. So we're going to be going back again. But I thank God that, you know, this class that I've taken, that when we put things to practical use, God does get the glory. And he shows us that even a child at 5 years old can understand and be saved.
Thank you, Brother George. Thank you. You can put that over there. Our oldest daughter came to Christ when she was five, and she's never wavered or compromised, except keeping our children in Nashville. All right, now, let's wrap this up. We've looked at four practical demonstrations of faith, the kind of faith that'll get us through fires. It's the daily walking out of our walk with Christ. The Bible says it, we believe it, that settles it forever. But my question is, if God shined his heavenly searchlight on your heart right now, would he approve of what he finds when it comes to the wonderment? Oh God, you're awesome. When it comes to our worshiping, am I really thinking about what I'm singing? Or is it just kind of compartmentalized in my life? Or is it a sense of worshiping throughout the day? In your walk, if you really want to know how much we love God, we have to look at how much we love each other. And then in our witnessing. George, what you said was very powerful. One of the things that caught my attention was I shared the gospel and nothing happened then. But we keep sharing the gospel, and then we see God's blessings. You may have shared the gospel 50 times and nothing's ever happened, but don't stop. Trust God that he's going to use his message. But in your witnessing, does God approve of that part of your life? Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Let's just have a time of, as we start back after fall break, if God's Spirit spoke to you about, let's keep our eyes closed, if he spoke to you about your worshiping, and you know there's something he's disapproving, and you're confessing that and dealing with that right now, would you just stand up and just sit right back down? Just stand up and sit right back down. Anybody on your worshiping? That's right, just stand up and sit right back down. Anybody else? And just sit right back down. Okay? In your walk with God, is there something he's disapproving of that you need to deal with? If you're confessing that and dealing with that, stand up and just sit right back down. Just quietly stand up. Sit right back down. Then in your witnessing, is there anything he disapproves of? Is there an attitude of skepticism? Skepticism's not faith. Just stand up, sit right back down. Anybody? Okay. Awesome God of creation, the maker of the heavens and the earth, the God who loves us, forgives us, matures us, and approves us. Father, we pray, Lord, that you've seen our confession. But Lord, in confessing our where we've fallen short, we're also acknowledging our desire to please you. We pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit so we can walk in a manner worthy of you. Lord, we want to please you in all respects, bear fruit in every good work, and increase in the knowledge of you. Lord, thank you for the Scriptures. Lord, may we truly demonstrate the real deal when it comes to faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.